So a quick thing before we get into it. I don't know if you could tell, but Juanes didn't know I was even going in the first place. He thought it was just going to be Esther and Serena. So he was very shocked to see me there first off, which was really cool because he's like a brother to me. So it was cool to surprise him in that way. But yeah, we can go to the next slide.
Okay, so basically I'll talk about the first city that we went to, and it was a city that we flew into, Bogota, and we were all super, super tired because we were flying the whole day, but we were greeted by the most amazing family ever. It was the Anaya family, and top corner, the one next to Esther, that's Sylvie, and then Ami, and then the boy by Noah, that's Mati, and these kids are honestly one of the most amazing, some of the most amazing kids I know. Like, they have been such an encouragement to me at such a young age, just like their fire for the Lord and their knowledge. Like, sometimes they sit there and they're just like telling me about Proverbs and like all these books of the Bible. I'm just like, you guys are so young yet you have so much knowledge, and they inspire me at such an like an older age than them. I just get inspired by them every time I talk to them. Super sweet, amazing family. They ran with balloons and signs and everything, so so cute. Yep, so we were with them, and then we drove back to Duitama, and that's just one of the fruits. They're really good. I already forgot what they're called, but that's one of them. So yeah, you can go to the next slide.
All right, so this was, so one of Juanes' biggest ministries he's doing in Colombia is actually through basketball. So if you can see in that picture on the left, the guy on the far right, his name is James. So that is one of Juanes' best friends, and a guy he's actually new to his faith. He actually came to Christ I think a few years ago. But Juanes has been really pouring into him and discipling him, and he's super on fire for the Lord. And so actually James is the one who leads this basketball team. He's like their coach, and then Juanes helps on the side here and then. But yeah, their team is called Redimidos, which in English translates to redeemed, and then like 2.0 for dos. So yeah, it's really cool. A lot of these kids, they're from Duitama, which is the city that Juanes is from. It's not super big. But yeah, it has a lot of these young kids, and a lot of them actually don't believe in, Christ. A lot of them are like quote unquote Catholic, but they don't really have any faith of their own. So it was cool, super cool to talk to them, especially since a lot of them were my age and our ages as well. So basically every time they meet up, they play basketball for around like 2 hours. And then afterwards, they have a time of meeting and scripture reading and just talking about, you know, their lives and about Christ and what the Bible has to say. And yeah, I had the chance to actually talk to them. We went to one of their practices. And for a lot of these kids, they really idolize basketball, but sort of in an unhealthy way. Because I love sports. I play a lot of sports. But when you get to the point of like idolizing something more than God, it can get pretty rough. So a lot of these guys, they knew I was from Milwaukee, and they always hear about the Bucks and like Giannis, and they were like freaking out. They were like, "This guy's from Milwaukee. Do you know Giannis like personally?" I was like, "No, I don't." But yeah, it was, and I was able to, you know, Juanes translated for me one of the times we met up with these kids, and I was just telling them about how basketball, you know, is important, is like probably the most important things in these kids' lives. But I told them, you know, it only can bring you so much satisfaction, and like, you know, in the game of basketball, you'll always lose eventually. But with God, He'll never let you down. And I was just encouraging them to, you know, keep pursuing the Lord over basketball, and even using basketball as an outlet to, you know, spread the word to other people around them. So it was super cool, just to do that. And yeah, So you could go to the next slide.
Okay, so this is the church that Juanes started in Duitama along with Sam Killings. And I got to see this church actually in February of this same year. And seeing the growth just from February to now December was so incredible. The amount of people that have stepped up and how much bigger it just got in general. Like, I always say that this church reminds me so much of our church, just the Colombian version. Like, I was sitting there on the Sunday and I was like, that guy reminds me of Mr. Neil. That guy reminds me of Mr. Jim. Like, there was, everyone was reminding me. I was like, it felt so great to be there because it's like my family, just the Colombian version. It's just like so incredible to see. And their worship team has just got so much better. They have so much youth stepping up, and like their friends are inviting friends. So there's like new faces all the time, and it's just really incredible seeing all the work that God has been doing in that church and the work that Juanes has been putting in. It's just really encouraging to see that growth there. So the picture right up on the corner, those are some of the women in the church. The one on the corner is one of Juanes's relatives. I forgot how they're related, but they're related. And that's Tati in the top, and that's Angelica. Super sweet, amazing woman. I got to hear the testimonies of Angelica and, of course, my friend Tati on the top. And it's just incredible God's work in their life and how they have, like, come through so much and found Christ through the church that Juana started. And I just think that's super encouraging. And we even got to sing at their church. They asked us to sing, and that was really fun to sing with my siblings. And then this girl, Emma, I think that was one of the reasons that God actually brought us to Columbia, at least for me and Esther. This Emma, she's gone through so much in her life, and she was just like telling me and Esther about that, how she like had walked away from the church, hasn't seen her family in like over years, and just was like living with her grandma, living with friends, and she was just like going through a rough time when we were there, and we just got to share a little bit about our own testimonies and like really encourage, and she encouraged us too. And it was just amazing how God worked in her life. She actually went to see her family for the first time a week ago, which was super an answer to prayer for her. And she's just been growing a lot, which has been really amazing to see that transformation in just such a short amount of time. So yeah, that's the church in Duitama. It's doing super well. And they always tell me to tell all of you to pray for them and all that stuff. So they know about all of you guys here. So it's like really cool. Yeah, you can go to the next one. Okay, so this is the ministry in Pesca. And Pesca has such like a special place in my heart for so many reasons. So basically Pesca is a really, it's so small. It's like a really small city in like the middle of the mountains. Juanes drives like 2 hours there in a terrible road and then 2 hours back. He does this ministry every Wednesday, and he started like a youth group there. It started off being like just something they would play frisbee, and then he would share kind of like the basketball ministry, but now it's kind of turned into like an actual youth group that kids come every week. So these are some of the kids that I got to meet, and that was the mom of some of the kids. And so we just did a youth group and we got to be a part of, and then Juanes likes to put people on the spot. So he asked me if I could share my testimony with all of them and he would translate. And that was super special to me because Colombia is like a really important part of my testimony that I can share with you guys real quick. So I remember this is what I told him. The first time I came to Colombia, I didn't actually want to go. Like I hadn't been walking with the Lord and I was just like super content, super comfortable living in my life here. And I just remember Juanes and like the Hartles and Esther, they were all just like, you need to go. And I was just like, okay, I'll go. But it is crazy how God can literally like, he took me from my country and brought me to another country to like get a hold of my life again. And it's, I was telling the people here, I'm like, you guys are a big part of that because it was like going out of my comfort zone and like leaving like the comfortable part of my life and like going out of my comfort zone and doing things that I wouldn't normally do. And it was like seeing Jesus's love through these people. I don't know. It just was like really inspiring for me. And then like hearing their testimonies and like some of these people have gone through the craziest things and like they are walking so strong with the Lord. And it was just like inspiring to see that in those people. And I remember coming back from Colombia and just being like, wow, like I just want to completely change my life. And then to like start walking with God when I come back from Colombia and then walking with God and then get to go back to Colombia, like, I've just been learning so much about his, like, grace and his faithfulness in that. Like, I feel like I was so undeserving to go even the first time, but yet God let me go twice in 1 year. So if that's, like, not an example of God's grace, like, I don't know what is. And just, like, seeing his faithfulness and, like, his hand and, like, everything and, like, the transformation in my own life and Noah's life and, like, even the people there, just, like, seeing him work so much through these trips, it's just, like, it's so incredible. And if you ever have a chance to, like, go to Colombia or, like, go somewhere else, you should totally do it, just to, like, change your perspective on things. So I got to share with them a little bit about how Colombia was just such a special place and how, like, that's where I started my walk with the Lord. And a verse that I shared with them was in Matthew 16, 26. And it was, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life, for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" So that really is an important verse to me, because I think I was hanging on so much to my life. And then I realized, like, none of that stuff matters. It's so temporary. It's the only thing that matters is, like, Jesus and, like, what you do for Jesus. So I just was telling them, I was like, listen, I've been in my comfortable life and, like, lived for myself, but, like, that, what benefit is it? If you don't have Jesus, you know? So I got to share with them, and that was just super, super amazing to do. And then,
yeah. So another cool thing that happened in Pesca was, you can see a picture down there in the bottom left. So after we had met up with all the Christian youth group there, we decided to go out into the village, and it was pretty late at night. So Juanes just grabbed his guitar, and we just decided to just go out into the middle of this plaza. And while we were there, so for some context, Esther got really close with one of the girls in Pesca. Her name was Tatiana. And she's a young girl. She was like 17. She's right there in the middle. But she actually had been struggling with a relationship with her boyfriend. He was very into, like, drinking and smoking. And with Tatiana, she really wanted to get closer to the Lord, but she felt that her relationship was sort of holding her back. So, believe it or not, the boyfriend was actually there in the plaza we were at. And he was with a bunch of other guys. They were all drinking and smoking. And we actually invited them to come over to where we were. And we started singing songs. And it was really cool to see how, like, receptive they were to it. You would think, like, maybe they might push back. But they were actually super curious as to what we were about, like, why we were there, stuff like that. And Juanes had the chance to talk to them about the gospel. We opened up the word. And it was just cool to talk about Christ with them, especially as people who are, you know, doing some activities that aren't necessarily super pleasing to God. But yeah, that was a super cool experience. And it was one of our first experience, or for me, of really, like, talking to other people, like, super directly and intentionally. So yeah, you can go to the next one.
Okay. So then we got to travel to Villa de Leyva, and this was with the Anaya family, and their family is so sweet. They were actually going on their, like, family vacation, like, family they haven't seen years and years and years. And they invited us to come with them, which was so Colombian of them, just to their whole family reunion. So we went with them, and it ended up, of course, God uses everything for a ministry opportunity. A lot of their family were unbelievers, and we got to, like, with Juanes and our friend Hamas came with us, and we got to share the gospel. I did with that one girl right there, super sweet. She just has traveled the world. Super sweet. And we got to just hang out with the family and, like, sing lots of songs and, like, get to know more people, which was really fun. And we actually came to Colombia during the Festival of Lights. It's like, they light up the whole city. The whole city was light up. There were so many people. So we got to be there with their family right up there and watch some fireworks and like play some games. So that was a really fun experience just to visit a new beautiful city. So yeah, you can go to the next one.
All right. So the next town we went to, it was actually funny because we hit up two towns in the span of one night. So the first town we went to, it wasn't actually Corrales. It was Nopsa. And Juanes was telling me about a young guy he had known a little bit. His name was Jair, and he was 18. He's my age. He's a basketball player, and he's from Nopsa. And he just said that maybe we should, you know, invite him. Because it was a big group of us. It was around, if you can see at that bottom picture, it was like probably 30 of us. Or maybe like 15. Yeah, not 30. But it was a lot of us. It was a lot of people. But yeah, so we invited Jair. He's right there in that left, right picture in the middle, the tall guy. Yeah. So we went to pick him up from Nopsa, and then we all crammed into Juanes' car.
It was like 15 of us and like an 8-passenger.
Yeah, it was wild.
And it was
yeah, it was an experience for sure. But yeah, so after we went to Nopsa, we visited all like the lights and stuff. I got to meet Jair's grandma, who's super nice, and was able to really talk to Jair about, you know, his life. He's another one of those guys who really like idolized basketball, so I was able to talk to him about that. And at the beginning of the trip, he was actually, I asked him about his faith, and it was super like casual. It was a super casual faith for him. He explained it to me that he thought of his faith as it goes in waves, and he thought that his faith was currently on a low wave. It was kind of hard to understand him in Spanish, but yeah. So he was pretty struggling with his faith, and luckily I was able to spend a lot more time with him after this. But we went up to Corrales, which with more lights that night, and was able to see a lot of the cool areas over there, and even just spending time. These are a lot of Christian people who we went with. So it was cool to have a mix of both, especially for the people who were with us who weren't super strong in their faith. To just be able to see a group of believers interact with each other. And it's like you can have fun with believers too. It's not just with you can have fun any way you want. So yeah, that was Corrales, and you can go to the next one. So yeah, this was Nopsa. So this is actually where our friend Jair is from, and this is actually where he stays at. So Jair's story is really, really interesting. So he's 18, like I said before. His father's not in the picture, and his mom is actually a drug addict. And the way he explained it to me was all the garbage of the garbageness of the drugs, they put all together into one, and that was the drug his mom was addicted on. So it was really bad. It was like his mom had to go to a rehabilitation center, and he just told me of like the horror stories that she experienced there, super abusive. And when he would visit her when he was younger, they would be super aggressive with him. And yeah, it was just super sad to hear this this guy's story. But yeah, so he lived with his grandma and his mom in this area in Nopsa. So that night after we had gotten back from those two towns, Corrales and Nopsa, we went back to Duitama for the night, and we decided to invite Jair over to sleep back at Juanes' place, and so he could come to church with us the morning after. And then later that day, we went back to Nopsa to drop him off, and he showed us his house. He was super hospitable. Even though he didn't have much, he was super eager to like give us his water, his soda, just some snacks just to show us around. So it was really cool to see that. And there's more on Jair later, but this is kind of like the start of when he really started to see some signs of him like really yearning for the Lord, and his spirit was definitely awakening in him. So yeah, you can go to the next one.
Okay, so then we decided to go to the city called Gambita, and this is where Juanes decided that we would climb a mountain and go see a waterfall. So something I've noticed about how Juanes does missions is basically what he's done is he's like has a group of like solid believers, solid Christian friends. And what he does is he brings unbelievers and he brings them just on regular things like climbing a mountain or like just having fun. Like he'll just bring them along. And he's so intentional with like the conversations we have and the things we did and everything. So on this trip, we got to bring Jair and Puerto. He's in the beige shirt. So Jair is the guy that Noah was just talking to about, and Puerto is from the basketball team, and both of them were not believers at this time, but we just brought them along just so, you know, just so we could show them what it was like to be a Christian and walk with the Lord. So we went to the city and we stopped at this woman's house who made us food and stuff, and we were just all sitting down and just having really good conversation. Like that's the thing I've noticed about like Juanes' friend group and how he does it. It's like every conversation they have is so intentional. And it's like he asks questions that really make you think. So Noah will touch on this a lot in a little bit. But something that we talked a lot about is like this guy Puerto had so many questions about like faith. Like what is faith? And they were talking about it like for an hour and a half, just talking about like what is faith? And we got to hear the testimony of a girl named Lena. She's really small in the picture in the purple. And how she got saved. And she actually got saved in kind of this type of setting. Juanes and his friends a couple years ago had invited her to hang out with them, and through that Jesus reached her and she became a Christian actually through that, and through that ministry that Juanes does, right, just like going out living life with his friends and bringing in unbelievers with. So that's just really inspiring to see a lot of. And so basically we climbed this mountain. It was really rough because it was so hot. And it was just the altitude. But we made it up the mountain and we got to swim in the waterfall. The girls and then the boys were over. And that was super, super fun to do. And just like talk and get to know these like amazing people. And like that's another girl I got really close to on top of the car. That's Issa. Super sweet, amazing person. Really has a heart for the Lord. That was really just encouraging to be with. And something that I think I learned while I was on this was a lot about what missions really is. And like in my mind, like going on trips like this, the first time and this time in my mind, I'm like, okay, I want to be a missionary. Like I want to do this. This is just like so amazing. Like this is what I want to do. And then, so I was talking to Juanes, and then while I was walking, I was like saying, I'm like, I just don't know what I'm going to do when I come back. Like, da, da, da. Like, what is, like, what do I do? Like, I want to do this. And then he was like, well, what do you think missions is? And I was like, well, what you're doing, like going out. And he was like, he told me something really interesting that I'll read that he told me about what missions actually is. And so the verse in Matthew 28, verse 18, the Great Commission, where it's saying, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. He told me something interesting about that verse. So in the original text of that verse is to make. It's not to go. So the verb to go is actually as you go. So if you read it in that lens, as you go, make disciples, I think that like changes so much. Like as you go, it's like as you go through the journey of life. Like for me, it's like as like I don't need to go necessarily like right now to somewhere else, like as I live my life right now, which is could be like if you're younger, like at school, like as you go, make disciples, pour into people, be intentional with your conversations, and like live like Jesus lived, because like your life, how you live, is such a big testimony, which I've been realizing. So just like living like Jesus lived where you are is super important. So it's like as you go, make disciples, as you go in your journey of life. So like in school, at work, wherever you go, in Colombia, like it's just like I think Jesus is telling us like to just make disciples no matter where we are. So like we're all missionaries. That's what I'm really learning. It's like Juanes is a missionary, yes, but so am I, and so is Noah, and so is everyone here, because we're all believers of God and we're all supposed to go and like tell everyone all this amazing news. So that's just something I've been learning a lot, and I'm back now and it's just like being bold and like going out and like telling these people all the stuff I know, you know? So I think just like learning that for me has just been so impactful for me coming back. Now, what am I going to do with this? Like, okay, I'm here. I'm in this season of life. Let's like use that and like tell the people, like my friends, like when I used to work at the coffee shop, like using that opportunity to speak to others, or just like even like being with the youth group here, just like going and like showing how Jesus lived through your own life, like how he loved, like how he forgave, how he served others, just like living like Jesus. I think that's what our calling is and how we can all be missionaries just here. So that is something, one of the biggest things I think I took away from this is like, we're all missionaries. I'm a missionary where I am here. So that was a big thing I learned even on this trip, just like walking and looking at all the mountains. I was just like, wow, what is my purpose? And I'm like, this is my purpose, just to be a missionary wherever I am. So yep, that's what I learned from this. And you can go to the next slide.
Yeah. So these are the last set of pictures, and then I'll get into some scripture in a little bit. But so this was the part of the trip that really spoke to me a lot, and I think to all of us. So up there are just some fun pictures of us traveling. But that bottom left corner, so it was one of our last nights in Colombia. We were all super tired. You know, we probably had a total of like 4 hours of sleep in the span of 4 days. So like it was terrible. And I was feeling a little sick too. I think I caught like I drank some like bad water or something, so I was not feeling good at all, and we were all honestly not feeling good. So we decided one night, we're like, you know what, let's just go home and just chill, and let's, you know, just sleep. But then, so we were passing the sign of Nopsa, from where that kid I talked about before, Jair, and his family, and at that point we had already said bye to them. We were leaving the next day back to Bogota to the airport to go home. But then as we were driving, we see the sign and Juanes just whips his wheel. I'm like, what are you doing? We're all just like, we want to go home. We're tired. He's like, I think we have one more stop we have to do before this trip is over. So we go to this guy's house again, Jair. And the first time we had went to his house, it was just him at his house. And he had showed us around and he had told us about his family, but we didn't actually see them. But this time, we showed up at their house at, like, 8 p.m. We got attacked by their dogs on the way there. But so we show up to their house. It's really late. And, you know, me, Saren, and Esther, we're like, we never do this in the States. Like, show up to somebody's house that late. Like, that's unheard of. You have to, like, tell them you're coming. But Juanes was like, it's okay. Let's just go there, and it'll be a good testimony to him and his family. So we go to their house, and we actually meet the grandma right there. And she's actually Catholic. But the thing about her was, like, she was still super wise. And I believe she was a believer. She was super, knowledgeable about the word. But she also had a lot of questions, too. And so Juanes, you can see that huge Bible. That was, like, their only Bible they had at the house. But Juanes was just flipping through there. And that... I really saw the Spirit working through Juanes in that moment, because he was just flipping to random pages, just telling them about the scripture. And what was actually really cool is his mom was actually there, the former drug addict. Jair's mom and him don't have the best relationship. So it was really interesting to see that dynamic between their family, because they're not super tight-knit. They have a lot of also other family issues. With like aunts and grandmas and stuff, some stories I won't get into, but we were able to share the gospel with them, which was really cool. And it even brought them to tears just like hearing everything that Juanes was telling them. We were just talking about what it means to like have faith and what it means to be a believer, and it was really cool. And we were able to even, you know, talk more to Jair that night, and he shared his testimony. And that's when I really saw Jair like really changing and like looking for God. And fun fact about Jair, he's currently he still hangs out with Juanes. When we left, I think he's over there like pretty much every day. He's with that whole group of people. So he's really on fire for the Lord, and I think he's on a really good path right now.
And then real quick, something fun fact about Jair, which I honestly think is like a miracle. When we first met him, he spoke like no English. Like it was really hard to communicate with him. But by the end of the trip, he was fluent somehow. And I remember we got back in the car, me, Noah, Juanes, and Esther, and we were like, wait, when did he learn English? Like in this matter of like 2 hours, he's like translating for us with another guy. And I'm just like, when did you learn English? So I don't know where the English came from, but it was definitely God. So he was fluent now, but he wasn't fluent when we met him. That's for sure.
So yeah, so that was a really cool experience with Jair. I still try to keep in contact with him. I text him sometimes on social media. So, and then another story, which is really cool. So after we left Duitama, we went to Bogota for the day before we left on back to America. And we actually went to an indigenous tribe's, what was it?
It's like a indigenous community where like a bunch of the communities come and they do like a little festival thing.
Yeah, they were selling a bunch of stuff. And so this guy in this picture, it's kind of hard to see him, but his name was Chucho. It's a cool name, Chucho. But so he actually grew up in the indigenous tribe. He knew Juanes beforehand.
So basically Juanes, when he was like 20, I don't remember how old he was. He was young. So he actually went to teach English at a school in an indigenous community. And he actually stayed with this guy and some of his family for, I don't remember how long, but they hadn't seen each other in like 7-8 years. Like it had been a long time since they've seen each other. So Juanes like knew he was in town. So he was like, oh, we just got to meet my friend. Da, da, da. So yeah, that's how basically we know him.
Yeah. So when we were there, we had the chance to actually hear his testimony, which is really cool to hear. So growing up, his family, like none of his family was Christian. He was the only one Christian in his whole household. And his dad was actually super anti-Christian. And so he told us this one story of when he was really young, he would always want to go to church and his dad didn't like that. So what his dad would do is he would, give Chucho a bunch of chores in the morning, like a ton of chores. So it would be like impossible for him to go to church. But what was really cool to hear was Chucho, instead of just taking that and being like, you know what, I'm not going to go to church, he would wake up at like 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and do all those chores and just to make it to church. And so that was just super, like, really spoke to me, especially because I know maybe some of us on Sunday mornings, we might be a little tough getting out of bed sometimes. Like, we want to go to church, but we're tired. But it was just super cool to hear a guy like he wants to have that community of believers so bad that he's willing to, you know, just wake up that early to just go to church. And another thing about this guy is he has struggled in the past with community and having a community of believers. And I could tell it meant a lot to him to even be able to spend like a few hours with him that day, just to be surrounded by people who, you know, had the same belief as him. Which is really cool, which is where I want to start in the Bible. So one thing that I really learned was community of believers and how important it is to have that. So the first verse I want to read is Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. You can open there if you want. Great. So I'll start at verse 24. It says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So in his word, God literally calls us to have community and meet together. And I didn't realize how important that was to be surrounded by a group of believers that, you know, build each other up and encourage each other. And that's what I saw in Colombia, and I saw the effects of it. And for me here in the States, you know, prior to going there, it was really hard for me to find that sense of community, to find a good sense of community. 'Cause I have a great community here on Sundays, but even at my own school, sometimes it's hard to, you know, find that group of people, even though, you know, I go to a quote unquote Christian school, and it is Christian. But the, you know, the conversations I have there aren't necessarily super like purposeful. They're super like surface level. And I found it really hard to really have that community. And that really affected me personally, because when you don't have a strong community of believers around you, you tend to be like the people you hang around. And so I found myself doing that a lot. But post Columbia, I think finding that sense of community is a really big goal of mine. And I've been able to start on that. I've been having the chance to meet up for Bible studies with my siblings and some other friends. And even Selah is helping a lot too. So yeah, that is something big for community. And then another section of scripture I like to read is from Psalms 1. You guys could turn there too. Psalms chapter 1. It's a pretty well-known chapter since it's the first chapter in Psalms, but it basically talks about the way of the righteous versus the way of the wicked. So I'll just read the whole thing. So Psalms 1 verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." And what this chapter really spoke to me was, is God's calling to us, on who we surround ourselves with. In the first couple of verses, it talks about not being in the counsel of the wicked, but delighting in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So meditating day and night, I saw another example of that in Colombia. We would stay up super late, whether we were with friends or just with each other, and just talk about, scripture. And I remember one night specifically, with me, Esther, and Juanes, we were talking about, how we were going to live out our life when we get back to America. And so, yeah, so going back to verse 3, it talks about yielding fruit. So I think hanging around a group of like-minded believers truly bears fruit. And I saw that in Colombia. And I would like to use an analogy to kind of make it make more sense. So think of a community of believers as like a garden. So just like a garden needs the right soil, sunlight, and nutrients to thrive, surrounding yourself with a community of believers provides everything you need to for support, encouragement, and shared beliefs that help you to grow in your faith. And obviously God is number one in that, your relationship, personal, one-on-one. But I think another big part of that is surrounding yourself again with people who build you up, encourage you, and who offer you support and guidance whenever you're struggling. And that's something I really think I value now, and that I really want to strive to have going forward. And then one more thing that I learned besides the importance of community was intentionality. So Serena touched on it and for a little bit, but the way that I noticed Juanes does his ministry is that he just lives life the way that he lives it. He plays basketball, he goes visit hiking mountains. But through those activities, he's super intentional. He knows when to be goofy and have fun, but he knows when to dig deep and really like be intentional with these people and ask them about their lives and really pour into them with scripture. And so I would like to read another example of intentionality in the Bible. So you could turn to 1 Corinthians. Sorry, I'm kind of jumping around, but 1 Corinthians 9, verses 9, starting in verse 19. So 1 Corinthians 9, starting in 19. So the context of this passage is Paul, and he's in Corinth, and he is sort of talking about how, as believers, we should be willing, or believers who are strong in our faiths, we should be willing to give up our rights and our comfortabilities for the sake of those weaker in our faith. So I'll just read this. Starting in 19, Paul says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might may share with them in its blessings." So I think that is verbatim of what I think I'm trying to share with y'all. In this, Paul is talking about how, you know, he meets people where they're at. So for example, to the Jews, I became a Jew. To the people on the outside, I went to the outside. To the weak, I became weak. And then finally, to wrap it up in 23, it says, "I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings." So God is calling us to go out to those people and meet them where they're at. And that's what I saw in Colombia, with Juanes especially. He was super intentional with what he was doing. For example, like the kids playing basketball, he met them where they were, with basketball being like super important to them. And he didn't fall back to what he's comfortable with. He went out. The same with visiting Jair's family. He went to where they were. He didn't wait for them. Or even in visiting Chucho, going out to where he is, because he was working at that festival. It's not like he was just there for fun. He was working and going out to them and really pouring into them. And that's something I learned, was being intentional with, you know, your conversations and where you what you're doing with your life. And I think people tend to think of, like, when you spread the gospel, you need to, you know, it's like such like this really hard thing that, you know, it's going to take a lot out of me. But, you know, spreading the gospel can come in all activities. You know, you can just live your life the way you live, and just be, as long as you're intentional with it, you know, anyone you're around, even at school with like the young guys, like, just be intentional in your conversations, or even for the older folks, just like where you are in life, work or at the grocery store or anything, just being super, living your life with a purpose, to, you know, spread the word. So yeah, that's, two things I really learned on my trip to Colombia. So yeah, I don't know.
So basically we learned a lot, and we're super thankful for especially Juanes and the opportunity that he's just given me and my siblings to go to these places and experience these things and like see what he's doing over there. And if any of you ever get the opportunity to go Colombia or just any place, I would totally recommend you do it, just because it really puts so much into perspective. And so we're super thankful for Juanes and especially God for making that all possible, and like his faithfulness and his love and his grace and letting all of this happen and letting me and my siblings have a chance to see this and witness it and see what it's like to live a life like Jesus did. So yeah, we're super thankful for that. That's basically all we have. Noah can pray, and then.
Yeah. One more thing I would like to add is, before we left Colombia, Juan has challenged us that when we went back to the States to really pour, find one person and pour into them. So for Juanes, that was his friend James, and he's been doing that for a while. So it really inspired me and my siblings to do so. So I actually, it's funny because like the day after I came back from Colombia, a friend of mine who I never really talk deep with, like we just play video games sometimes, he like poured out to me. It was the craziest thing. Like he was telling me like, "Noah, man, like I'm just like really I'm sad, like he just broke up with his girlfriend, and like he's super sad." He was like, I just want to like I want to know more about like God, and I know you just went on your trip, like I want to know more, I want, and he was like, I want to, you know, learn more. So I invited him to our Bible study, so hopefully he can come. But it was cool to just see the way the Lord worked, and his timing with all that. But yeah, I'll just like to pray, to close out. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all here today. And I just thank you for all the work you're doing everywhere around the world, not just Colombia. Thank you for your continued work you're doing through Juanes. Thank you for the church down there, and for all the believers that are so strong in you. I pray that we can all find people in our lives that we can build community with, to fully give our lives to you. At the end of the day, you're the one we want, you're the one we need. So just thank you for giving people in our lives in the first place, because we know a lot of people out there are in the shoes of, feeling alone and not really having other people to talk to about their faith. Maybe it's because of their governments, or maybe it's because of family issues. But we just thank you for your continued strength that you give to those people. I pray that we can all go out and start being more intentional with the way we talk to people. I pray for specifically myself that I can do that as well. And just thank you for the work you're doing in our church as well. And please help us to go out in our day-to-day lives and live lives pleasing to you, and realize that we can be just as much of an impact in our areas we are at now than any place around the world. So we thank you continued for your blessings that you give to us, and please keep us all safe as we go home from this place. In your name I pray, amen. For sure. Tuitama or oh, Tatiana, yeah.
So that is a girl that we're still praying for. She came to the youth group last time we were there, me and Esther, in February, and unfortunately she hadn't been back since. So when we asked Juanes about her, he was like, "Yeah, I haven't seen her much." So Esther texted her, reached out, was like, "Hey, I really want to see you. Can you please come?" So she knows all this stuff, but it's like it's hard because they have so many things like coming in their direction, and like they want the newest this. They have all like the relationships and all that. So Esther continues to reach out to her too, and we're hoping that she continues to keep coming to the youth groups and stuff. So I'm not totally sure. But we're telling her and we're trying to speak to her more, and hopefully she comes to more things. But yeah. Oh, Puerto? Puerto. Okay. You can.
So Puerto was super interesting. I actually, he was another guy I got pretty close with when I was there. So he's like super philosophical. Like his mind is crazy. Like I remember one question he asked. He was like, "What color do you think your spirit is?" So it was like super like weird questions. And so his brain was definitely, I could tell like he really wanted to learn more, and he's still going to the ministries in the basketball team. So that's really good. I think that'll be really good for him moving forward. And he was one of those people who had a lot of questions about what faith was when we were in the by the waterfall. We had like an hour conversation with him about what it means. So he's definitely like wanting to learn more, and I think he's on the right track. So we'll continue. Keep praying for him for sure. Overall, yeah, I think we have different ones.
Mine was definitely Gambira, the one with the mountains, that just like seeing, like we were like on top of a mountain right by a waterfall, just like looking at all the mountains by the waterfall, and that was just the most beautiful thing. And I got to know some of those girls that were on the trip too, and like hearing their testimony and how God has been working in their life, and just like even practicing Spanish because they didn't speak English. So that was just incredible to see. And I had a lot of time where I could just like pray and just like talk to God, just walking up that mountain. And I just think that's where I like heard a lot from God and like learned the most and like saw this beautiful place and got to experience something like that. So the mine was definitely that, but.
I really like the views, what she's talking about. But for me, probably it was honestly Duitama, where Juanes is from. Like I got to like live life with them, and they're super cool group to be around. Food is great. That was another plus. But yeah, just like living life with them was super cool. And you know, sometimes here in the States, like you can get really distracted with like phones and stuff, and like just like staying in our beds and yeah, but like there it's like constantly you're doing something. And yeah, I really enjoyed Duitama, so yeah.
Juanes is good. He is so busy. I was just texting him the other day. He's a little sick because I think from the no sleep and the go, go, go. And he actually has people from Iowa right now over there, like Josiah Tuttle and some of the people in the church in Iowa. They went down there. And also, I was gonna mention it. That's another ministry he does, is bringing people from the States and going there. That is such a ministry just there for even us, like the amount of people that he's brought from the States to Colombia is insane. Like, it's really crazy. But no, he's good. He's always on the go. So just maybe for just a calm, maybe just take a break for a little bit. But needs, I'm trying to think. Their church does need a lot of prayer because they had like a split in their church. I don't know. He's probably shared that with people. They had a split in their church and still like trying to figure that out. And they're better, but they definitely do need still prayer and a lot of our prayer support. I don't know if you know.
And probably just continued prayer for like his parents. They're actually separated, so or no, divorced. But yeah, but they're good. I met both of them. They're really cool people. But yeah, and I think they're super. Both of them are really good. Close to the Lord, so that's really good. But just for a continued like family prayer for sure.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that the Kellers had to go and to visit with Juanes and see all that he's doing. Thank you for the work that you're doing there. Thank you that you love the people of Colombia like you love the people from every tongue and tribe and nation. Thank you that you're active in the world to save souls, and that you're using just regular people as they're going about their lives to come to know you and to have a relationship with you and to hear of all the wonderful things that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. Lord, I just pray for all of us as we go out from here that we would take this very seriously because the world is full of hurting and lost souls who need to know the good news. And we just pray that we would be very dutiful, that we would just enjoy walking with you and enjoy bringing other people along and telling them about all that you have done. And so, again, just thank you for this report from the Kellers, and we just pray a special blessing on them that they would just be very productive in their work for you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.